Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's March the 18th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Jake Benjamin of Louis Dreyfus in Kansas City will join us closer to the bottom of the hour to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, wheat rust is making headlines in Pakistan and around the globe. USDA has paid out more than $1.75 billion in disaster aid. And some in Congress want the Bush administration not to reopen the borders to Argentine beef imports. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, I'll lead you through the development of vitamin-rich orange corn from the labs on the south end of this campus and how it should help feed the world and maybe even livestock. Just after the bottom of the hour, of course, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finish the day like this. The numbers for the wheat at $11.64, up 32.5 cents today. July at $11.38 on a settlement price, 36 cents the gain. And September wheat at $11.45, up 20. December contract $11.54, 29.5 higher, and the March contract at $11.62. up 28 cents for the day. From the corn pit in Chicago, an 8 cent gain in the nearby May contract at $5.47 1/4. July at $5.59 1/4, up 8. And September futures at $5.61 1/2, up 8 1/4. December contract at $5.61 1/4, 6 1/4 higher. And the March corn futures today, $5.69 1/4, up 6 1/4 as well. September futures up 7 cents today at May futures for next year up 7 cents at $5.72. May futures in the bean pit for the nearby up 4 1/4 cents at $13.07 today. July futures at $13.22, up 3 1/4. The August contract and nickel higher at $13.16. September $12.90, up 16 for the day. And November beans $12.40, up 11 on the afternoon. January futures at $12.51. Gained a dime even, that in Chicago at the Board of Trade. Outside markets now, taking a look at the numbers there. Crude oil futures, nearby April contract at $109.50 a barrel, up $3.82. May futures at $108.85, up $4.62. The CRB index is now trading at $403.95. That's up $6.80 for the day. And the dollar at 71.31 is down 0.14 for the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 12,253. It's just about 281 points higher for the day. And the March gold futures at $1,003, or $1,003.20. Up $1.80 an ounce for the afternoon. Here's the weather forecast. It looks like this for this afternoon. An urban and small stream flood warning is in effect for Clark and Cumberland counties. That until 9:30 Central Time tonight. A flood watch is in effect for Champaign, Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Douglas, Edgar, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, Shelby, and Vermilion counties in Illinois through Wednesday morning. A dense fog advisory is in effect for DeWitt, Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, Logan, McLean, and Sangamon counties until 2 o'clock this afternoon. The weather forecast from our own Mike Solis says tonight in northern Illinois, it'll be partly cloudy from west central Illinois through northwestern Indiana, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers. Those will diminish in coverage after midnight. Elsewhere, cloudy, some showers, a few thunderstorms this evening, then some widespread showers, a few thunderstorms in the far south. Lows will range from 28 in the far northwestern part of Illinois to 46 in the southern parts of Indiana. Wednesday in northern and west central Illinois, partly to mostly sunny. In east central and southern Illinois, cloudy, some scattered showers during the morning, then isolated showers in the afternoon. In northern Indiana, mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers of rain and or snow. You're listening to WILL Urbana. It is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
On a Tuesday afternoon, time to take a look at the futures markets here on the Closing Mark Report. And we're joined now by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Hi, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, the Fed decided to cut the rate by 0.75 today, and we had a turnaround Tuesday in Chicago.
Yes, we did, Todd. And, you know, along with the rate cut, along with the stabilizing of the Bear Stearns situation, along with the other banks coming out and trading a little bit better here today on the board, and their information being kicked out showing that they weren't in trouble, I think that helped a lot of things. Along with we've moved down quite a bit here, and I think that the funds weren't running for the door today like they have been the last couple of days.
This is probably a pretty good sign in the midst of what's been a really wild couple of weeks at the Chicago Board of Trade.
I think that nerve-wracking would be a very good word to use. Volatility, high volatility is the other one. But, I mean, it's been quite a roller coaster ride. I don't like roller coasters.
Well, the best thing to do on a roller coaster, if you don't like it, is to stand aside. I suspect there are many producers that have done that in the last week and a half, but that have been a little befuddled about what they should do at this point. Most of them, I would guess, have taken some kind of crop insurance coverage. And now they're faced with the idea of whether they should make cash sales on that portion of their crop that's not insured, and what to do with the bottom side, especially if they have CRC.
You know, I think that all those are good things, Todd. And of course, the grain industry has limited some of their options on some of those things. If some of the guys not writing fall contracts, writing basis only contracts, the hedge drives out of the picture, and any of them can come to their local broker and do that. But there is the possibility of large margin calls, and that's why a lot of us have been talking about puts and the idea of that. Puts are very pricey, and we must have to remember, what we're insuring as far as prices, why they are so pricey. But there's a reason they're that pricey, because look what can happen if you sell when it goes against you. So, it's one of those things, Todd, that I think that we should see a little bit of a work back up here, our little bounce after our stabilization here. And at that point, again, before the planning intentions report, we might want to do some covering either within the cash market or either with some puts. And I do think that a certain percentage would be, very advisable to a lot of these farmers.
Have you been reading what a lot of the other analysts have been saying today about the turnaround of the market and what producers and technically where the market might be headed, I suppose?
Well, I think that, there's a lot of talk here that we could chop between for the next week here. We don't have a lot of fundamental news. I think that there's fear of the possibility of another Bear Stearns happening. So there's some fear that way. There's fear of a very good South American crop and some of the trading going that way, and fear of the dollar getting too cheap and putting fears of international inflation in the world as far as things happening that way. Crude oil's bounced back. We're back at 109 here on crude oil, Todd. So all the outside indicators basically are telling us that the commodity markets probably are finding value in these levels.
And then taking a look at the U.S. dollar, it's down at 71 at this point, a little higher than that, actually, but not by much, 71.356. This is a pretty low area.
This is a very low area. This is historically low. I think we've been a little lower compared to the Japanese yen at its high point of its strength, but this is an all-time low against the Deutschmark, or the European, not Deutschmark, I'm saying the European currency, and, the euro. This is very scary. Lowering the interest rate another 0.75% today doesn't make CDs or whatever very good. And one of the things that we kept hearing on the financial channels is we needed to see more paying off of debt and more savings. And it isn't very attractive to go into savings at these low interest rates.
Well, all in all, what do you think producers – do you think producers are satisfied at this point with the decisions they've made and can stand aside the market and watch, or do they really need to step in and try to protect income at these levels? I guess the question is, do you think it can march back higher or not?
I think that we've got some chances for some recovery here, Todd. I don't think that we will make new highs until after the crop planning intentions report, just in the simple fact of I think that's too much to look forward to in the short period of time here. And, you know, things drop easier than they go up. And we've dropped quite hard. But I do think that as we look at things, we can see a little bit of gain back into the crop conditions or crop planning report intentions. And at that point, some sort of coverage, I think, should be put on if they haven't got up to the level where they want to feel comfortable going into the spring planting season. You know, we keep hearing indications of more switchover acres to beans and losing corn acres. If we can get a little bit of a push back up here in these beans, well, we might want to think seriously about some put protection.
All right. Thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. By the way, a flood watch remains in effect for most of Illinois along and south of Interstate 72 and for all of Indiana except for the most northern counties. For most of the areas, flood watch does not expire until sometime on Wednesday. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast just after the bottom of the hour, 32 after the hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Dave Dickey is here now. He's the Director of Agricultural Programming at the WILL radio stations. He'll help us take a complete look at the day's agricultural newscast.
In agricultural news, scientists and government officials around the world are on watch for a highly active strain of airborne wheat stem rust that has been detected in Pakistan, the world's fifth largest wheat producer. Researchers say the strain UG99 could spread to key wheat growing areas in China, India, Ukraine, and Australia. USDA says it has paid out more than $1.76 billion in disaster money to farmers under the ad hoc disaster package approved 10 months ago. The money has been awarded for losses on quantity or volume, but the Farm Service Agency is still working on how to define and pay producers for crop quality losses. USDA told producers they should be able to file claims for quality losses this spring, but there are still computer issues that have not been solved. A number of U.S. senators are calling on the Bush administration to scuttle plans to resume beef imports from southern Argentina on grounds that increases the likelihood of exposure to foot and mouth disease. Argentina has been barred since 2001 from sending meat shipments to the U.S. after an outbreak of the highly contagious disease. If USDA's rule on southern Argentina meat shipments is finalized, it would be the first imports to the U.S. since 2001. Senators want USDA to hold off on the rule pending a review by the Office of Management and Budget. The Bush administration says it's time for Congress to finalize the farm bill. Stuart Doan has more.
According to USDA Deputy Secretary Chuck Connor, President Bush's support for at least a one-year extension of current farm law, absent a new bill by April 18th,
is motivated by the fact that we really do believe it's time to get this farm bill done. By April 18th, all of our producers will be at least wanting to be in the field and probably should be in the field by that point. You know, there'll be a lot of corn planted. And, all of this will be occurring without any provision for the risk management associated with the farm programs. They simply won't know.
While Connor remains hopeful that Congress will produce a farm bill acceptable to the White House by the middle of next month,
it's going to require a very, very dramatic shift and movement forward that we just haven't seen now for a number of weeks.
I'm Stuart Doan reporting.
CME Group has signed a definitive agreement to acquire NYMEX Holdings, the parent company of the New York Mercantile Exchange. Under terms of the deal, shareholders of NYMEX will receive about 12.5 million shares of CME Group A common stock and $3.4 billion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can find those programs on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. They're posted there as MP3 files and podcasts for you to listen to anytime you'd like. It's all at willag.org. Now, up next, it only seems natural that the University of Illinois would deliver orange corn. After all, the school colors are orange and blue, but as you'll hear, the plant breeding and reasons for developing the corn are the real story, and they both get a vitamin A. Researchers at the University of Illinois and Cornell identified a gene a few years ago that increased the amount of beta-carotene in corn. Not only that, but they developed some inexpensive markers to locate the gene. The gene makes the corn orange in color, as you might expect, and along with it, increases the amount of vitamin A in the corn. Well, that's good news for hungry people around the globe, says Torbert Rochford.
And so this work is initially targeted for the developing world. Eventually, I think someday, I would love to see Illinois growing orange corn. But for now, for the developing world where they have vitamin A deficiencies and you can't get vitamins to them in parts of Africa, but corn, if you increase vitamin A, you know, it's self-perpetuating. They grow open pollinated varieties. So this will greatly accelerate and facilitate the ability of breeders to increase levels of vitamin A in corn grain for Africa and other developing parts of the world. I work with people in China and I may be shortly working with people in India as well.
Torbert Rochford is a plant geneticist at Illinois. He says his work was initially supported by the U.S. government through USAID, otherwise known as the U.S. Agency for International Development.
Now, they contribute to Harvest Plus, which is a grand challenge program with the CG system, and I get my funding from them, and Gates is the major donor to Harvest Plus. AID will... We are working on strategies to rapidly implement the findings, and I work with Kevin Pixley at CIMMYT in Mexico, but he has collaborators in Africa and China and India, and so we're working to rapidly implement the results.
But what does this all have to do with corn farmers in the Midwest? Well, it's pretty simple, actually. Rochford says he started working on the orange corn in the mid-1990s, and eventually it will pay off in the heartland of the United States.
And you work on it, it's for them, and then eventually we get it to a point where we've got it really fine-tuned, and then at that point, then the private sector here may say, okay, this isn't going to cost much, it isn't going to take a lot of time, we could add this to our corn. We're not necessarily going to get more money per bushel, but we can say for the on-farm feeder, this has more vitamin A.
It was work at land grant institutions in the late 1800s that led farmers to begin planting yellow corn. It contained more vitamin A than the very popular white corn varieties of the day. Because of the vitamin A, pigs gained weight faster when eating yellow corn. The World Health Organization states vitamin A deficiency is a public health problem in half of all countries, especially Africa and East Asia. It's a leading cause of preventable blindness in children and increases the risk of disease and death from severe infections. Adapting locally grown open-pollinated corn, maize, varieties with the vitamin A-enriched orange genes could alleviate some of this unnecessary suffering. Torbert Rochford and his colleagues have developed a cheap way to mark the genes and then set about transferring them. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson, For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Tuesday afternoon, we usually talk with an energy analyst about the commodity markets. They all seem to be very busy today. That may have something to do with what's been happening in New York, but it may not. Jake Benjamin is in a conference this afternoon out of Louis Dreyfus in Kansas City. I checked to see if I could get hold of Harry Cooney out of Bloomington. He's not available this afternoon, or at least didn't answer the phone. And a good friend, Mike Wolverton out of K-State, thought maybe he could help us out today. And frankly, Mike answered the phone, but he's headed into the classroom to teach this afternoon. Mike is a grains analyst and a professor for Kansas State University as well. So we'll just have to talk to you a little bit about the service here at the radio station and what you can find on our website from time to time. That's at willag.org. It's willag.org. There you'll be able to pick up a number of things, and let's go through them just because we don't talk about the website other than to give you the address. The website really is designed with farmers in mind, and everything that happens that you hear on the air here, Commodity Week and the Closing Mark Report, a couple of other programs that are produced by Dave Dickey, the pre-opening and opening mark reports are available as MP3 files. If you have high-speed internet, the files are downloadable as a high-speed internet in broadband, or what we'd simply call our MP3 file. If you're trying to get through it through a dial-up service, a little tougher to do, but possible. We make some smaller files that you can download. Probably the best way to go about getting programming and time shifting it, if you'd like, is to visit that website at willag.org and then follow the directions for podcasting. This program and Commodity Week, a couple of others, are all podcast off of the website. That means they're delivered through iTunes, usually, to your computer, and they just stay there so that you can pick them up anytime you'd like. You can purchase maybe an iPod and take them into the field with you if you want as well. That's right there at willag.org. We do post USDA reports on the website under USDA reports. The latest reports are there. And when we do that, they're posted not long in the updated form after the release. So when we have the crop acreage report at the end of this month, you'll find it in the USDA reports section. The WASDE numbers are already there from the last report. We keep the quarterly grain stocks reports on hand. That's all at willag.org. We try to make it really user-friendly, and we've updated that website in the last 3 months so that if you haven't been for a while and you thought it wasn't all that easy to use before, it should be much easier to use at this point. And we hope that you will drop by and try it out at willag.org. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe to our weekend newsletter. That one's absolutely free. We're going to take the week off for Easter on Sunday. But we'll be back the following week with a newsletter. In the meantime, you can go ahead and subscribe to it if you'd like. It's on the right-hand side of the page. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather in the Midwest to begin with.
Woo. Well, certainly in the short term, it's going to get very interesting over the next 48 hours, especially for the southern areas of the Midwest and the Corn Belt. There's going to be some excessive rain in portions of Missouri, Arkansas, eastern Oklahoma, the southern half of Illinois, southern half of Indiana, southern half of Ohio. Could experience rainfall amounts of as much as 3 or 4 inches in some areas. That on top of melting snow going to be causing some issues. Is a very stormy March weather pattern is well in place, and it's going to stay active as we look ahead into the second half of this month.
Tell me about next week, I suppose, and the rest of this week as we look at this active system. Will we be getting rainfall fairly frequently?
It looks like something coming through about every 3 days. There is a very steady moving jet stream that's putting out a lot of unsettled weather. There's a big vortex of low pressure up in the Gulf of Alaska that will spin off small storms that won't stay long in any one place. They're going to move coast to coast fairly quickly, but they're going to be intense. So this is going to mean what looks to be some more wet weather for the next probably 3 weeks across the center and the eastern half of the United States.
You say intense, do you mean intense in the amount of precipitation,
yes,
or the likelihood of severe weather, or both?
All of the above. We're likely going to have more severe weather and more heavy precipitation with these systems as they move on through well into early April.
What's the most, the nearest by one that could cause these potential problems?
Well, the one that we're going to see over the next 24 to 48 hours in those areas I mentioned earlier, stretching from eastern Oklahoma through the Ohio Valley, not a very wide band of heavy rain, but a long band of 3 to 4 inch rainfall, then that's going to be causing some problems. And there's going to be some severe weather breaking out. The East Coast could also be looking at a significant late winter storm with snow this weekend.
And then if you turn your attention to the rest of the globe, what do you see?
Well, let's stay in the northern hemisphere and look over in China. They're going to stay pretty wet as well. In fact, China, a lot of times, has been a lot like the U.S. and portions of Canada at times this winter, stormy and wet. They're looking to see above-normal precipitation over the next week as well. In the southern hemisphere, South America, well, they're looking at shower activity, most widespread in Brazil, drier in Argentina, but Brazil looking at, in many areas, above-average precipitation.
Don, we appreciate you being with us for the
Thank
day.
You.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us every Tuesday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this daily program along with Commodity Week and a whole slew of other things you might be interested in seeing about agriculture, including the latest USDA reports. It's all at willag.org. Don't forget to sign up for our weekend newsletter while you're there. It's on the right-hand side of the page. It's really good. It's absolutely free. Take a hiatus this week, but it'll be back after Easter break. I'm Todd Gleason.